All right, our Lord Jesus, this will be me and this will be thee. And as we're rightly related to Jesus through faith, so we have faith. So we're rightly related to our neighbor through love. And all of that from the hand of God. So God has sent his Son into the world. And Jesus is the cornerstone of the house of God on earth. So this cornerstone has one face here, number one, number two, and three and four, but I'll just make those three. This first face refers to us apart from God, us trying to please God by performing. So instead of faith, here we attempt to behave ourselves and perform. And that performance, because it's based upon his standard, these commandments that he's given us, is to be perfect. Be perfect. Same thing as saying, be holy. Not only spiritually, but soul and body, so that we line up perfectly, and that lineup is called peace. You're in perfect alignment, and therefore you're at rest or at peace when you're in perfect alignment with Jesus. So shalom doesn't mean hello. It actually means you are in perfect relationship. Now, if you try to relate over here off of this face, which the whole world is attempting to do, man at his best, man at his worst, whatever. If you try to line up over here, you will fail. Because nobody ever has been able to be like God, perfect. And so Jesus is the cornerstone, the measure, the standard by which everything is measured. If you line up this side of his face holy, then you will fail because you're not. If you line up this side, which is mercy, then you line up perfectly, and that pleases him that you were sinful, according to face one. But by his mercy, because you believed in it by faith, that his goodness was not for himself, but for you, then he counts you as righteous. And then, through the lordship of Christ, not as Savior, face two, but as Lord, face three, you have the power of God, not only to be in right relationship with him, but to have fellowship with him. Because he's in you. Therefore, you're able to do the works of God. Here, you're in yourself, or Satan is in you, and you can only perform his works or your own works, which are imperfect, vain, empty, ignorant, foolish. But if you're over here, because all of the weight is not on you, but all of the weight is on Jesus, his goodness is your goodness. His love is your love. His peace is your peace. His kindness is your kindness. Because God was in Christ. Here's God the Father. Here's the Father. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So it's not who you are, it's who's in you. It isn't who Jesus is, it's who Jesus is in relationship to the Father. So since the Father said, I'm going to send you on a mission, this will not be your mission. You're holy. The law falls on you, but I don't want the law to fall on Jim. I don't want the law to fall on Sally. I want the law to fall totally on you. You take the burden. So Jesus carries our burden. Jesus takes the burden. And give Jim or Sally or whoever all the blessing. So the blessing is for us to do nothing and enter into his rest. And let him bring us into relationship with him instead of trying to perform on our own, it's better to have a relationship, not performance. Let performance follow after relationship. So in other words, follow this circle all the way around so that you're justified, then sanctified, then glorified until you actually are fully mature or fully perfected, not by the law as an outside standard, but by having God live inside of you, even Jesus Christ, this Holy One. Now, as this building continues, brick after brick, it actually forms then a perfect relationship and a building where the Holy of Holies is a living stone, and you become part of the Holy of Holies. And all these stones come alive through Him, so that your capacity, your identity, is no longer you, but Christ in you. Your being is not who you are in yourself, in your own juices. That would be over here, apart from Him. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. But over here, you can do all things through Christ, who strengthens you to love others, to love yourself, to love God, and to love even your enemies. And let God then build this house, which is nothing other than the body of Christ. Here's the head, here's the body. Here's the cornerstone, here's the rest of the building. Here's the light of the world, you're the light of the world. Here is the salt of the earth, He is the salt. Everything that He is, you become in relationship to Him. What you aren't apart from Him, you become in Him, just like Him. So it's not who you are, it's who dwells inside of you. What temple are you? And you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, forget the theology that I just said. The only thing valuable is if you live this. It's not valuable to learn this. What's valuable is that you actually believe that law doesn't work. Now, half of you still believe in law. That is, you believe you should perform. And you think about it. And you try. And you believe that you expect other people to behave. And you expect yourself to behave. So to the extent you put pressure on yourself to behave, you will be impossible to live with. Because other people will never live up to your standard. And it's not even God's standard. God's standard is that Jesus live up to the law. He doesn't want you under law because nobody here has ever been perfect or ever will be. Ever, even for all eternity, you'll never be perfect in yourself. You can only be perfect if you believe that Him who is perfect, perfectly loved you, forgave you, and then He perfects you, but only in relationship. You're not perfected on your own. You can't cut the branch off from the vine and still bear fruit. The minute you cut the branch off from the trunk or the roots, you're dead. He's the head. You're not. He's the head, and you're the body. He's the bridegroom, you're the bride. He's your beloved, you're His beloved. So in relationship is how you find your identity, and your identity totally creates your capacity. And your capacity determines your destiny. In other words, where you're going depends upon the things you perform, but you can't perform them apart from Him. You can only let Him perform them for you, in you, through you, all Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now that is good news to enter into His rest and stop working, stop thinking, stop feeling, stop looking at yourself, stop taking yourself seriously, take Him seriously. You're never going to be a good wife. And you could say amen at that point, but anyway, it doesn't matter. You're never going to be a good wife because you're not perfect. And that would be the only good wife is a dead wife, who doesn't care about herself and she only takes care of her husband. Now, that can't happen if you're just outwardly doing it by duty, but not deeply from the heart. And there never has been such a woman. And never will be. Not in the history of the world. You cannot be a good husband because the husband's job, David knows that, praise God. Amen. You cannot. Now, what I'm teaching is not frivolous and funny. You can never be what God created you to be, ever, unless you line up with the cornerstone. So the only way you can be is not to be on your own, independent. The Garden of Eden was all about man independently not eating of a tree. Didn't work. Independently trying to live by faith. It doesn't work. Not until there was a promise. After they sinned, that's when God revealed his promise. After they sinned, after they messed up, to realize that you cannot do it. And every little kid has to learn that, is I can't do what my parents want. I certainly can't do it from the heart, but I can't even do it outwardly. Every little kid, sooner or later, is going to become defiant. Has anybody ever noticed that in raising children, even if you discipline them and spank them and are on them night and day, they'll still come to a point. No. You go to bed right now. No. I love that. Don't you love when little kids do that? And I like that they put their hands right on their hips like this. I don't know where they get this idea. No. And they're just determined for once to rebel. And from then on, it's rebellion all the way. You see that? This is you. And after you grow up, you don't change. You still like that. No. Okay, now, I want you to know I love you. I know. And I want you to trust me and obey me. No. In other words, a lot of us love God, but we don't trust him. We love God because he died for us. That's face number two. We love God because he died for us, but we don't trust him to actually not say our own words and do our own deeds. We want to express ourselves all the time. Felt fulfillment of the self, you know. Oh, I just want to be my true self. A wicked sinner? A hypocrite and a liar? An evil monster? Well, I just want to have self-fulfillment. That's it. The highest you can go in this life is hypocrite, liar, phony, cheat, murderer. That's it. Do y'all see that? Again, if you don't apply this to yourself, I'm not helping you to apply it. I'm just explaining it to you. I believe what I'm just saying. I actually believe that I'm worthless apart from him. I'm not like, oh, I feel worthless. I am worthless, so I feel it. Who cares? So I just feel worthless. Well, you are. I don't know what's so amazing. Jesus said that. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Everything is vain. Everything is wicked. Everything is evil. Everything is out of line. We are out of line, not only with Satan, not only with Jesus, not only with your neighbor, but yourself. You're not even in line with yourself. You have a standard for somebody else, and you don't even live up to your own standard. Amen. You ever notice what a hypocrite you are? You have laws for other people, but you can't even keep them yourself. Do y'all see that? So, get rid of the law. What? It's written on our heart. No, it isn't. It's written on the old heart. When you believe in Jesus, you get a new heart. And it's not written on your heart. There, the Holy Ghost is in your heart, and that is the law. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the one that transforms you into the likeness of Jesus. That's your goal. Your purpose in life is to be perfect, just like Jesus was perfect. He's the one that has created a new race of men. Prototokos, just a Greek word which means first, and we translate it in the Bible, begotten. And it can mean begotten, but it doesn't mean that. It also can mean the first one to beget a new race of people. Now, God created everybody over here under the law, left hand. You notice up here my little cube. It has on the left side, it has this hand over here. So he created everybody under the law. You're made by him. But everybody on the right side of God, and God can do this if he wants to, and he does want to. Everything on his right side is redemption. Everything over here is law. Law, redemption. Creation, salvation. He can do what he wants. And if he wants to do it that way, and that is the way he wants to do, well, he can do it. So over here, I have to behave myself, and over here, he does. This one's better. Over here, Jesus has to behave himself, and if I did wrong over here, he has to get the spanking over here. Woohoo! So even though Jesus never sinned, never did anything wrong, because he loved Jim, who did sin, and he said, Jim, do you owe anything? Death, I think. You didn't? Did you sin? Yeah. Okay, well, I'll pay. Yahoo! That was exciting. I love that. To me, that's good news. Is that good news? Jesus said, Jim, did you sin? Yes, sir. Well, you have to, you know, go to hell and whatever. Okay. Well, what about the Jesus thing? Well, yeah, I could put him in your place. Okay, let's do it. You mean you want Jesus to suffer? Yeah, who betcha. He loves it. He gets a kick out of it. I don't want to perish because he has life in himself. He'll resurrect. I don't have life in myself. But if he's in me who resurrects, then I have resurrection life in me. So whatever he has, who lives in Jesus? God was in Christ. So if God is in Christ, so there's the Father and there's the Son. If God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, that is, redeeming it, restoring it, reconciling it to the shalom so that you're all lined up right. If God was in Christ reconciling the world, then I can be rightly related to God in redemption, restoration, and reconciliation, justification, sanctification, glorification. I can get all of that by doing nothing. That's a lot better than me lying and pretending and faking when my heart isn't in it. Peggy was telling me in the car that Christopher Hitchens is dying, and he's saying now, well, maybe, you know, forget sin, but maybe there's consequences to doing bad things, and that's why I'm dying. Well, that's cool. That's exactly right. There are consequences. He's right. He's 100% right. There are consequences, but they're not the consequences God wants him to have. God wants that atheist, that, you know, smart guy, to humble himself and beg, cry out for mercy. That's one thing he doesn't want to do. That's you. That's me. I'm like that. We're all like that. We're all stubborn. Does anybody know that you're stubborn? Even though you know it's wrong to lie, you'll lie. Even though it's wrong to be afraid, you'll be afraid. Even though it's wrong to fear and worry and fret, you'll do it. Even though it's wrong to be jealous, you'll do it anyway. I don't care what God tells you not to do, you'll do it. And if you don't do it outwardly, you'll do it inwardly. Because that's just the way we are. We're rebellious by nature apart from him. You can do nothing. In him, well, then you can do all things. So the question is not who you are, but who you are in relationship to God. Now, if you relate to face number one, if you relate to the law, the Ten Commandments, the law written on your heart, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Hitchens may or may not believe in the Jewish law. Doesn't matter. He's got it written on his heart. If you relate to this law and try to please God by your behavior, you're going to come up depressed. And he is. He's totally depressed because he's going to die. And that's just sin, death. And he doesn't believe in sin, but he's going to believe in death. I mean, it will occur to him later, you know, I may have goofed up a little bit. And the reason that I can talk so flippantly about him is because that was me. I was exactly like that. Arrogant, proud, cavalier. I love what he does. He just sticks his finger right in God's nose. Hey, out of my way. You don't even exist. I'm God. I love that. Don't you think that's humble? Don't you think that's humbling himself? Because he's not lying. That's what he thinks. That's what he feels. That's what he wants. And when he's really honest, he'll say, well, I wanted to sin. What people call sin. I just wanted to do it. I knew it was wrong, but I just wanted to do it. Is there anybody here that can identify with that? I knew it was wrong to be afraid because he said, fear not. I knew it was wrong to hate my neighbor, not love my neighbor. I didn't want to. There are certain neighbors that I just don't want to love. But Christ in you, loving you, not loving your neighbor, that'll transform you. Why would he love me when I didn't love my neighbor? Because that's who you are. And he designed Christ not to be Christ, but to be Jim's Christ, David's Christ, James's Christ, David's Christ. You know what God wants is for you not to be you, but to be Christ in you, you. That's a new you. That's why he's prototokos, from the word tikto, which means creator or creation, katesis. So what the Greek is saying is that Jesus is the firstborn of the new creation, not because he's firstborn, he's the creator of it. It means he's the first one to pattern yourself after in this new way. He's the cornerstone, you're the stone. And you're alive because he's alive. You don't have life in yourself, you're derivative. Just like the branch doesn't have life in itself. Cut it off and it won't bear any fruit. The only way you have any life is being in the trunk, being based on the root. So God doesn't want you to be holy. You're not holy, and he doesn't want you to be. God wants to make you holy by entering into relationship with you. And he just says a word. He doesn't do anything. He just says a word. You've never seen him. You've never talked to him. You didn't walk in Galilee. You don't know him. It's just written down in a book. It's just written down in a book. What a shabby way. If I were God, I would have done it with, you know, gold tablets or something fancier. It's just a shabby way. In fact, it's written in Chinese and in English and, you know, all over the place. I mean, and there's so many translations. Gee, God, I would have been smarter than that. I would have made the thing clear. Well, he said, that's good enough. Isn't that amazing? So by that shabby, kind of doing it on our level thing, I got saved. I didn't get saved because of my brain. I didn't get saved because of my emotions. I didn't get saved because of my desires. I certainly didn't get saved because of my behavior, because I was a bad character. But I got saved because I was no good, and he said, I love you, Jim. I just love you. You're just so cute. Mwah. You little stinker. And you're going to go to hell, but I don't want that. So I'm going to die for you and let you off and give you the kingdom. And I went, huh? What? What would you do that for? Get out of my way. I'm going to kill you right now. He said, no, Jim. Look, I want to transform you because you're not going to make it. The way you're going, you're not going to make it. I want you to look over here at my mercy. I don't want to. I want you to look over here at my mercy. This is going to be your life. And I fought that for years. I don't want to owe Jesus anything. I just want to sin. I was just like Christopher. I just want to sin. And I love sin. A lot of people hate it because they've, you know, faced the consequences of it. But I hadn't. And even though I'd faced a few consequences, they weren't enough to dissuade me from continuing to sin. I just became more clever at it. Do y'all understand? I just hid it from myself so I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want my left hand to know what my right hand is doing. And yet, I did know. So if Peggy would ask me, you know, whatever, she'd ask me whatever, I'd just say it, because she's my wife. So maybe lie to you, but I'd tell Peggy, yeah, that's right. Your feelings are worth nothing. Well, I just feel like God doesn't like me. It doesn't mean anything. Well, I feel like God is speaking to me. How stupid can you be? You know, people can say, he told me to kill my husband. That's stupid. How many know that was not it? But how do you know that it wasn't it? Well, it doesn't agree with the Bible. But it doesn't even agree with your brains, your common sense. He told me to kill my wife. I've thought of that. Peggy has definitely thought of that. She has. I think that's part of life. Amen? So there's a little murder in everybody here. There's a little murder. No, there's a lot of murder. Because anytime someone doesn't do what I want or what I think is good for them, I want to kill them. I mean, I don't just feel like, oh, it's okay. I feel like, you stupid person, you know nothing. Let me train you and teach you. Is anybody else like me? You know, you just want to shake them. I just want to just grab Peggy and just shake her. You stupid person. You know nothing. Don't you see how smart I am? Here is the kettle, you know, calling the pan, you know, whatever. No, you see, we are so apart from him, we can do nothing. Nothing that pleases God. Nothing that is right. Nothing that is true. All truth comes from above. All life comes from above. There is nothing on the earth that's lasting. It's all subject to the law of sin and death over here on phase one. The world knows nothing of phase two or three. And you can't get three without two. And two you can't get without a one. Because he starts out not with faith, but with repentance. You have to repent of one, that you never were any good. You never were smart or clever. How many know that when you're weak, you're strong? But none of us want to be weak. We're all trying to be strong and smart and good and, you know, lift ourselves up. Well, you say, Pastor, you've told us that many times. I know, but it still hasn't sunk in. I know you can repeat it. I know you can say you heard it before. You told the same joke last week. I don't care. The whole point of this is not to say what I want to say or you want to hear. Is to say what God wants to say. So Jesus, now, here's how this Hebrews book starts out. In times past, left hand, Old Testament, creation, human religion, even revealed religion of Jews, left hand. Over here, under law. Everything on the left hand is law. Everything in creation, everything in religion, everything human. Man-made religion. Now you say, well, God made the Jewish religion. He made it, but they never did it. He said, be perfect, but where were they? Why did they go into exile all the time? Why did God take his tent out of their camp? Because if they kept sinning, he said, I have to kill y'all. So he decided to move his tent a few feet away. It's the only reason he didn't kill them, because they, in fact, it's even worse than that. They not only said, you know, God, you're not going to move your tent away just because we sin, are you? Yes, I am. And when they heard that, they went, let's sin and get rid of him. That's how devious we are. Are you devious like that? Yeah, you are. I just wanted to settle it out. Yeah, you don't have to think so. You are. You know what? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, you might think there are differences in falling short. Look, when the standard is perfect, falling short 5 feet or 5,000 feet is irrelevant. If you're not perfect, you're not perfect. That's all. You're either pregnant or you're not. It's either true or false. It's either light or dark. It's either, you know, whatever. So with God's standard being perfect, you have to be Jesus, and we're not. But what you can do is be in relationship to Jesus, whose perfection is not only that he's holy in phase one, but that he's merciful in phase two to those that are not holy in phase one. That is so beautiful. You see how that worked? This is so powerful that Jesus doesn't want you to relate to this face. He is holy, but he didn't do it because he had to. He did it because he wanted to, unlike me. I might do it out of fear or out of, you know, reward. If I'm good, I'll get to go to heaven. If I'm bad, I'll have to go to hell. Okay, so I might just fake it as a hypocrite and a liar and pretend like I'm better than others and even think of myself as better than others. But the truth is, I wasn't perfect like Jesus. So God sent Jesus on the earth so we could actually not just see this rock that's hidden, but we could actually see him. But he didn't come this way. He came this way because Moses had already gone this way and it didn't work. Nobody had ever, Moses could tell all the Jewish people, and to this day, Jewish people are still trying to please God. Are you keeping Torah? Are you keeping the law? Are you keeping the first five books? You know, are you keeping the Torah? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Are you walking in the way of the Lord? And they never have. They've never had a Shabbat that was perfect. But every Lord's Day for them, they say, Shabbat Shalom. What they mean is, I'm looking forward to the day. Well, you know what? As a Christian, we don't look forward. We look back. When Jesus died, you died. It's over. You're already in heaven. How many know you're already in heaven? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. And the new has come. And that makes it real clear. You are a new creation. If any man be in Christ, that's me, by faith, that's me, then you are. You aren't becoming one. But Pastor, I don't see it. Who said that was by sight? It's by faith. It's what he wrote in the book. You're not going to see it. You've never seen Jesus. You've never seen God the Father. You don't have to see it to believe it. You have to believe it to see it. Now, I believe that Peggy is a gift of God to me personally, not to anybody else. Just to me, she's a gift of God. So since I believe that, that's the way I see her, and that's the way I behave. But that baby needs to train. Yeah, work on that baby. Put her under the law. Put that baby under the law. No redemption, no mercy. No, she's a sweet baby. You see, unless you become like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. What's the baby do? Nothing. Sin. The baby is selfish. Completely just think. She's not thinking, Mom, do you mind if I cry right now? She's not asking. She's not asking. You know what? Who cares? That little baby is totally at rest, totally lined up perfectly with God, totally dependent on her parents to feed her, clothe her, change her, whatever. And there's no care at all in the little baby. There's not one care in the world. And that little baby is totally loved, not because she's wonderful and helpful. She's totally loved for no reason at all. That's the God you have. God doesn't want you to do anything. Your performance stinketh. You at your best, it's altogether vanity. I mean, when you're at your best, it's absolutely nothing. That's a little bit discouraging when you've actually gone out of your way to help somebody and then they didn't even appreciate it. In fact, they blamed you. And you were the only one that helped. Golly, I was just trying to help. You ever notice that about people? The more you help people, the more they'll despise you. Did you know that? I'm going to say it again because you're looking blank at me. The more you help somebody where you actually know, you know what, I'm making a big sacrifice here, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. The more you do, I tell you what, they will turn on you. So when you do help people, don't do it for any reward. Just do it. Just do it. And know you're going to get punished for it. Then you'll be fine. I'm gonna, you know, express love. I remember when I used to be a really bad person outwardly, and then I became a Christian. And I said, Peg, guess what? I'm a Christian now, and I love you. And her response was not, "Well, praise the Lord." You'd think that. It's, you know, it's kind of like, it's about time. No, her response was, you don't love me, and I'm going to prove it, because I'm going to sin so much that you're going to hate the day, because I know you're a liar. You don't love me unconditionally. No, honest, I do. Just do anything you want. So she took out, you know, my 25, 30 years, whatever it was, of abuse on her. She took out vengeance to pay me back. And I said, well, Peg, how long is this going to go on? I know you've all heard this, but it was about 26 years at that point. How long are you going to punish me for, now that I love you, wouldn't it be good just to forgive me and then we just move on? No. I mean, she didn't say it kind of like, no. You know, it's no. In other words, I'm going to get you for everything you did. Peg, remember the scripture. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Remember that scripture, touch not the Lord's anointed. There are lots of scriptures And she said, no, I don't care about all your scriptures. You were rotten to me, and I'm going to pay you back. Well, how long? Well, how long was yours? I don't know, 25, 26 years. That's how long. Even Stephen. Do you see that? Don't you see that? You see how wretched Peggy was? Not to just forgive me. Peg, think of the scripture. Forgive. And she did. She did sin, and she did. I mean, you see, I used to sin by just simply ignoring her. But she deliberately went out of her way to really get me and hurt me. I'd say, Peg, what you're doing, that hurts. Good. I never said that. I never said it like that. Don't you think that's funny? It is. Did I deserve it? Absolutely. And she can tell you, I never, ever thought I didn't deserve it. I told her, yeah, do whatever you can do. You know, whatever makes you feel good or whatever, just do it, because I deserve every bit of it. So I never said, you know, treat me easily. I did, but then it didn't do any good, so I just went ahead with the other one and say, okay, well, just be anything you want to be. Just be what you want to be, because I know Jesus loves me. And it doesn't matter what you do or don't do, I love you. And I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. I'm going to stay right here until you beat the tar out of me and kick me and bite me and yell at me and scream and so on and so forth. Isn't that funny? Y'all see that? That's called unconditional love. I didn't learn that because I was a good guy. I learned that because that's the way God did me. I treated God like that, and God forgave me. I was just giving Peg a chance. She didn't take it. But after about 15 years, it was supposed to be 26, but after about 15 years, I remember the day she came up and put her arm around me and said, I love you. I said, really? How come? I don't know. Well, did you want to say you're sorry then for all the... Then she withdrew her hand right away. She withdrew her hand. She went back. We were at the sink. I remember we were at the sink. I just, you know, because maybe I'd put my arm around her. It doesn't make any difference, whatever it was. Peggy knows all the details. But whatever it was, but then she came back a little later and said, well, I was wrong. God spoke to me, and I shouldn't be mad at you. And then I said, okay, so did you want to say you're sorry now? Kathleen, you'd have loved it. You would have loved it. She withdrew again. Y'all see that? That was a little test. A little test. Y'all don't have any fun. You have a God that has forgiven you all your sins, past, present, and future. You never have to pay. How could you not be happy all the time? I mean, I'm not deliberately going out of my way to do it, but I'm just telling you something. I don't pay attention to it. I don't really care. Here's why. The scripture says this. Beholding him, we are changed. Now, what if I beheld myself not changing? That wouldn't make me change. Do you see that? Why would I want to look at my sins? Peggy's looking at them. I don't need to. I don't really need to. Now, here's something more interesting. God is not looking at my sins. Did you know that when God sees me, he doesn't see my sin? God does not look upon my sins. We do. Other people do. But God looks at Jesus saying, Jesus, this is the girl I was telling you about, Jim. So I'm the one he was telling Jesus about. That's your beloved right there. And I'm buying that. And what makes me holy is not being holy, but believing that he's holy for me and has chosen me. And since I believe, he calls that holy. So holy is not phase one, performance. It's faith two, which is relationship by faith. He wanted to be related to me. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wanted to be related to me, and he said, Jim, I just want to give you everything, not only in heaven, but I want to start right now on earth. Well, what about Peg? Can you handle her? She's tough. She's a tiger. Peg is a tiger. She's a bulldog. If any of you have ever gotten around her, you've found that out. When Peggy believes something, she believes it. I don't want to tell on you, though. Because I could tell some good stories. But when she believes it, she's firm on it. Do you want me to tell? Because we just had the discussion in the car. Anyway, God is funny. Now, why is the marriage good in this world? And why does God send us out as lambs in the midst of wolves? Well, why does God do that? Why doesn't he, once you become a Christian, just take you home? Rapture you out. That's, by the way, that's a big theology in this area. Rapture out. I don't believe in that, by the way. I believe in the rapture, but pre-wrath, not pre-tribulation. Did you hear me? I believe in pre-rapture, I mean pre-wrath, because the wrath is never going to come on you. You're one of the children. You can be chastened, but you can never be destroyed. So you're a child. He can spank you, he can discipline you, but he's never going to destroy you. Whatever he's doing is for your good. And whatever he does, I just trust him. If he takes my life, great, praise the Lord. If he leaves me here, praise the Lord. It doesn't matter. There's no gain in staying, and there's no gain in going, because I already have everything. Why would I want more? I'm not going to get more heaven than I have right now. I'll see it, but I won't have any more. So I could be happy right now. I am. Now, here's how I'm going to do it. I am the happiest person on the face of the earth. Now, that's a pretty big statement. Is there anyone here who would like to make that same statement? I didn't say I was happier. I just said I'm the happiest. Now, you could be equal to me. Is there anyone else that will want to say, you know what, Pastor, you're not the only one. I also am the happiest person on the face of the earth because of what Jesus did. God created me. I failed. Then Jesus redeemed me, and I can't fail because it's up to him. And then he's transforming me, and then he's going to glorify himself through me. I let him do it all because the good work he began in me, he will surely can finish. If Jesus is going to finish it, let him finish it. And he said on the cross, it's finished. So that was the redemptive portion. Now he's doing the restoration, and pretty soon he'll do the reconciliation. And all I mean by that is it's not yet perfected. It's work in progress. You know, I know it's taking place because he promised. Have I ever seen it? I don't need to. Yes, I have, but I don't care if I have or not. I never look at it. Why would I look at my progress rather than him who's perfect? I'm just going to look at Jesus. The more I look at Jesus, the more I become like him. But then I'm not trying. But the more I look at myself getting perfect, the more I've taken my eyes off Jesus, and I won't be. Do y'all see that? So you are perfect in the sight of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. That's perfect. Or here's another one. You are now seated with Christ in heavenly places. It doesn't say you shall someday. You are already now, right now, in God's sight. I know not in people's sight. I know you haven't seen it. So what? I like God's way of doing it. I like surprises. Any way it is, I don't really care because I got a relationship with a guy that can't lie. It'd be different if he was a liar, and then I'd be in trouble. I'd be in big trouble. But because I know he's told the truth, Jim, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Cool. And when I'm sinning, he tagged right along. Jesus, I don't think you're going to like this part. You stay out in the car, and I'll be back. I'll be right back. I'm just going to sin maybe an hour or two, and then I'll be done. Just want to get it out of my system. So stay right here. I don't think you're going to enjoy this. But Jesus comes right along. Jesus, I said stay in the car. He does not want me to ever even sin. He's right there. Jim, what are you doing? I'm sinning. You're bugging me. I'm not meaning this from the heart or anything. I'm just doing it in my soul here, you know. I'll be over it in a few minutes. Jim, you don't have to do that, you know. And I don't have to, but kind of want to right now. Can I please? Has anyone ever done that? For example, he says, don't worry. How many here worry? He says, you know, don't be anxious. How many here are anxious? You know, fear not. How many here are afraid? On and on and on. He says, what? Rejoice always. How many here are rejoicing always? No, there's nobody here that is. So what? Let him finish it. It's a union job. I'm not doing that part. That's his part. When I get with Jesus someday, I'll rejoice always. But right now, my heart is rejoicing always. I don't need to see it to believe it. I don't need to feel it. I don't need to understand it. I don't need to even desire it. I don't even have to want it because I don't have my own want anymore. He's my wanter. He's my feeler. He's my thinker. I don't have to think my own thoughts. I take every thought captive to the Word of God. And it doesn't matter if I'm slow and you've caught me. I don't really care. Waste your time looking at me. That's a waste. I just put my eyes on Jesus. That's what he said to look at. So whether I'm sinning, then he's my Savior. Whether I'm doing well, I'm not going to brag or boast or, well, I do, but it doesn't matter. I'm not going to look at myself doing it. I don't care what it is. I totally trust Jesus. I'm just, you know, fall back into the everlasting arms of God. I can't lose when I've already won. Now, who believes what I just said? That's you. Okay, let's have one of you just stand up and say, you know what? I'm just like you. I'm totally happy all the time. I totally rely on Jesus. And I'm not talking about my soul. I'm talking about my heart, my spirit. Who's ready? Who wants to do it? Praise God. See, that's a miracle. That's impossible. Yeah, don't tell me about that. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I kind of believe you too. Yeah, in your spirit. But you see, that's what God sees. When he looks at you, he does not see your behavior. You say, then why does Jesus walk among the candlesticks and point it out? All right, here, this is a good question. Why does Jesus then point out your sins? I'll tell you why. He's not telling you to do it so you'll feel guilty or change. He's telling you what he's working on. All he's telling you is your works are not perfect. He isn't saying you're going to go to hell. He's chastening you. All he's saying is, and that's what you do when you raise children. You can tell a child, now don't go in there, or I don't want you to do this, or whatever you say. And that doesn't mean they won't, but you're just getting the concept across. And so you spank them, not because they disobeyed. You spank them in hope. Do you hear what I just said? Not their hope in themselves, but their hope in him. It's the parent that's at fault. Not the child. So when you tell a child who's rebellious, who's selfish, who's going to go their own way, you don't have to force them. You just simply tell them, you stop that right now, I'm going to spank you. But you're not mad at them. You're not angry at them. God is never an angry father. He's always a loving father. He's not a judge trying to get you. Aha, you did it. Now I'm going to get you. Today you'll have an accident. No, that is not God. Usually when we have it, that's what we say. Uh-oh, I didn't read my Bible. I wished I had. I was thinking of it. I should have done it. You know, no, that is not true. That is a lie. God cannot ever change his mind, never from the foundation of the world. Before there was a world, he always knew you were going to be a sinner, and he always knew he was going to be your Savior. And he always knew he would perfect you as your Lord. He never expected you to do a lick of work. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. That shalom, that rest, is what he's doing, is lining you up with himself. He's not expecting you to do it. The more you help, the more you hurt. Stop doing it. Just start rejoicing. Thank you, Jesus. Just accept what he's done. Simple, like a child. Thank you, Mommy. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. It is so good to have a God like you. And little kids know that. They know that instinctively. If they never even heard of the gospel, they would know it and understand it because they know they're going to sin. If you ask even a three-year-old, do you sin? Yes. Do you do it deliberately? Sometimes. You know, little kids are just clean. They know that. Sometimes when the devil tells me to do something, then I hear Jesus saying that, you know, and they are smart. You didn't even have to teach them that. They know there's two voices. But what they don't know is the one is not equal to the other. That's what you got to tell them. Is look, Jesus loves you just the way you are. Don't change. Now, who is this Jesus? And I know they want to worship. Who is Jesus? First of all, he is the Son of God. What does that mean? That means he's in relationship to God. The question is not who is he? The question is who is he in relationship to the Father? He's the Son. Second of all, he is the heir of all things, panton, everything. Everything that there is, he's the heir. Now, he couldn't be a thing if he himself is the heir of all things. You say, well, maybe God was poetic and exaggerating. No, God's literal. Jesus created all things. And to prove it, it says so in the next verse. It says, by him were all things created. So, He himself was not the first one that was created. He was the creator of everything. Did you know Isaiah 54, which we read last year, verse 5 says, your maker is your husband. That's not God the Father. That's God the Son. He's your husband. You're his wife. And you're to bear all children, fruit, evidence, sign that you're intimate with him, the little me with the big Jesus there. Jesus is the husband, carries all the burden. I'm the wife that gets all the blessing, and then children come forth. Now, the problem with the church today is that we're not bearing enough fruit because, sing, O barren, if the maker, the one who made, you know God the Father made heaven and earth. No. God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why? Because that's God. God isn't just one, two, three. There's not three gods. They're just one. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They're not one person. They're three persons. But there's only one Godhead. And the Father's in the Son, and the Son and the Father together through the Spirit are in you. Now, don't get your brain to figure that all out. You don't need to. You just need to understand what's being said. Just the language. Don't try to play God and figure it out. Well, it must be like maybe steam, ice, and water. No. It's stupid. But people do it. I've done it. But that's not it. When God says something, I'm telling you, your heart knows right away the truth. When he said, I'm your Father, I'm your shepherd, you're my sheep. That's it. Your heart knows that. I don't care about your head. I don't care about your feelings. I don't care what you feel. I don't feel like a sheep. I don't care. He said it, and your heart knows it, and you can't check that out. You cannot check that out. You cannot check that out. There's nothing in you can check out where your heart is. Your heart is not the pump. Your heart is called the bowels, chesed. In the Hebrew, it's something deep down into your bowels. Where are they? They're not a place. It's something in you that God put in you that's in no animal. It's not in any plant. It's not in any rock or cloud. It's not in any angel. The bowels of his mercy, we don't know where they are. They're not a physical part of the anatomy. It's just God. And he lives in us, and that's why you're able to do stuff. Peggy is loved by me. Why? Because God, who is love, is in me. And he's not only for me, but he's in me, and he's through me. See? So he goes from 1 to 2 to 3. And as God keeps working that all out, convicting me here, faith here, then finally he begins to change my soul, which means dead, so that I'm dead. And then he actually lives through me so that you see my works. That proves that I'm connected to him in relationship, not that I have a head knowledge. Most Christians just have head knowledge. I believe Jesus Christ died for me. How do you believe that? Well, one day, you know, I heard the organ playing, just as I am without, and I went forward. You know, that's not how you become a Christian. You may be. I don't really care if you are or you aren't. But the proof is not what you did 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 30 years ago. The proof is, are you walking today according to the Spirit? Because God doesn't just leave you believing in Jesus. That faith has to be active in love. And if there's no love, if there's no fruit, he chops it down. Now, I know you don't want to hear that. You want to hear once saved, always saved. But the problem is with the word once saved. Saved is not in the Bible, meaning justification. Saved is not just phase number 2. Saved means 2 and 3. In other words, it means mercy and power. Grace is not just mercy. Grace is mercy plus power. That's why you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why you can't just be born again, what they call born again. Yes, born again is 2. You are born. But how many bring children home after they're born and then just leave them in the middle of the floor? When you're born, that's just the beginning. It's not the end. Well, you're born. Yeah, but that's not the end. Now that you've gotten out of one kingdom into another kingdom, you're brought into God's house. Now you're in his house. He's going to nourish you, spank you, train you, love you, hug you. He's going to do everything that people who have born ones do so that you grow up to be like Christ. Now, it's not taught today in the churches clearly. Maybe it's not taught at all, but at least it's not taught clearly. He actually means for you in this world to be a Christian, because he's not coming back for a harlot. He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. How many are ready? If he came today, how many are ready? Now, first of all, you're ready by faith. Phase two. Second of all, you're ready because it isn't up to you to clean yourself up. It's up to him. And the only thing that'll stop you is if you help. Please don't. I'll close with this. Please don't ever, anyone here, ever be sincere. Now, is there anyone here that's a sincere person? You know, I'm not. I'm a joke. But if you're a sincere person, then you will think that God loves me because I'm sincere. You're not sincere. Jesus is sincere. You're not. You're not kind. Jesus is kind. You're not loving. Jesus is loving. You don't have anything apart from me. You can do nothing. Well, I know, and I sincerely believe it. No, you don't. You're not sincere. You are an insincere person. Peggy's not sincere, but she fakes it, and she pretends. A lot of you are fooled by her. That's a wicked woman, I'll tell you right now. This is nasty. Peggy, tell them. Did you hear that? She said, I'm a wicked woman. Yes, she is. But I love her for that. I don't want her to be anything else. Just let Jesus do it. I don't pressure her. I don't care. I don't want her to do anything. I don't want her to be what I want her to be. I want her to be whatever she is. Whatever she is, that's what she is. And I don't even need to know. I don't even care. I know one thing. My God would not give me anything but the best. I got the best. Why do you say that, Pastor? I don't know. It's written in the Bible. It just said God doesn't give junk. He's going to give something good. How would I get anything but the best wife in the world? For me. Not for you. For me. See how perfect it is. I don't care how many marriages you've had. I don't care what your life has been up until now. So what? Let Jesus fix it. You can't go back and fix anything because you're the guy that messed it up. How can the person that messed it up learn when all the teaching is right there in that cornerstone? That's the cornerstone around which our whole life is centered. Hope you're blessed today. Like that, short, but long.
I know there are others out there, because from that generation, the Landry's, they all have.